We've been hearing this month from listeners on moments that have stuck with them in the LGBTQ rights movement. Here's what Olympia Sudan, the founder of Black Trans Media, told us the movement means to her.
When this started, it was resisting the idea that violence could happen to us and everything is okay, that we will not sit by idle while the state sanctions violence on our bodies because we are Black trans people or trans people of color.
For Black trans women, that violence is still a daily threat. At least 9 Black trans women have been murdered across the country this year alone, according to the Dallas-based advocacy group Black Trans Women, Inc. 2 of those women, Malaysia Booker and Chanel Lindsay, were killed in Dallas, Texas, in recent months. In response to those deaths, local activists are calling for a change to Texas's hate crime law, which currently does not include protections based on gender identity or expression. And advocates say that while amending the law would not end the problem of hate crimes against transgender people, the new language would at least send a message to transgender Texans that their concerns are being heard. Leslie McMurray is the Transgender Education and Advocacy Coordinator for Resource Center, a Dallas-based health facility for LGBTQ people. Leslie, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me on, Tanzina.
So when we look at this wave of killings, what has it shown us about the bigger issues that trans women, particularly Black trans women, are facing in Dallas today?
That life isn't easy and that we still have a lot of work to do. You know, one of the questions I was asked frequently when Malaysia Booker was attacked was, am I surprised? And the answer is no, not surprised, because this sort of thing happens a lot. There have been 10 transgender women this year that have been murdered in America, and I believe there was around 28 last year, and it just happens year after year. So it's always been dangerous for transgender women. The fact that 2 happened fairly close together in Dallas, and 1 was preceded by a very public viral beating, I think it just brought it to the public attention. But it's been going on without the public's attention for a very long time.
What are the laws that are currently on the books to protect LGBTQ people in Dallas? And what are activists trying to change in terms of getting new protections on the books?
Well, it's sort of a patchwork. If you're talking about hate crime legislation, transgender people and LGBT people, you know, gay and lesbians, are protected under the Matthew Shepard James Byrd Hate Crime Act federally. But in the state of Texas, sexual orientation, or as they call it in the law, sexual preference, which we hate, does protect. However, there are no protections for gender identity or expression. There is a representative down in Houston, Garnet Coleman, who's filed a bill in every session. Texas meets every other year. And so he filed it in 2007, 2009, 11, 13, 15, 17, and 19. Malaysia Booker was beaten on April the 12th, and it was a very public because it was captured on YouTube, and it was appalling. It was also the same day as the transgender military ban went into effect. April 29th, I went down to Austin to testify in favor of HB 1513, which is Garnet Coleman's bill, which would have included transgender people, gender identity or expression, in that legislation, and it never got out of committee, and it hasn't in all those years. And it's really frustrating because I begged them, and using Malaysia Booker's beating as an example for just how dangerous it is. Now, hate crime legislation isn't going to protect us from beatings like that, but what it does is add an extra layer of punishment for those who do, and it also sends a message to the transgender community from the state government that your lives matter, that you people are important, and you're worth protecting. And I think it's a message that we're longing to hear.
But Leslie, would making the changes that include adding gender identity protections actually change things, actually change any of the things that you just laid out?
Doubtful. One of the questions that I'll ask when I do corporate trainings is I'll ask African-American people in the room to raise their hand if they think the Civil Rights Act of 1964 ended discrimination. And instead of raising their hands, they usually kind of chuckle in a sort of sarcastic kind of way because it didn't. All it did was end legal discrimination. So laws can only change so much. What we have to do is change hearts and minds and help people to understand that transgender people are just another flavor of ice cream in America, in this big melting pot, that we're not predators. We're not really different than anyone else. I've got friends that are transgender that are airline pilots, that another one's an air traffic controller. you know, we come from every walk of life. We're just like anybody else. We have one peculiar difference, but other than that, we're pretty normal people.
Now, when you look at the way police have responded to these killings, what's your response to that?
It's a little bit layered. On one hand, I would love a little more transparency, because the way I found out about Malaysia Booker's, both her murder and her assault, came from the media. And I would prefer to have it come from our liaison office at the Dallas Police Department. I don't like hearing about those things for the first time from the media. But as far as their investigative efforts, I believe that they are taking it very seriously. They have two suspects. Malaysia Booker's attacker, killer, has been arrested and charged. And then Chanel Lindsay, they just made an arrest in her case this past week. And both of those, very good news. There's still two unsolved murders of transgender women in Dallas. One is Brittany Smith, I believe, and the other is Shade Shuler. And neither one of them have been solved yet.
We spoke to Olympia Sudan, who's a Black trans woman, and she has her own opinions about how Black trans women are covered by the media. I'd like to play that clip for you and get your thoughts on that.
Whenever the context of Black trans women in the media, it's always like death. And I think it's, yeah, it's highlighting the problem, but then on a day-to-day, what happens to our lives? What kind of support are we having? What access to resources are we really getting outside of the context of just naming the Black trans women who have died?
Leslie, what's your thought on what Olympia's saying there?
She hit it right on the head. We had a discussion with a local TV station here in Dallas just this past week. One of the things that they asked us was, how can we cover things differently? And we said, well, how about covering how we live instead of how we die? So when the news is constantly bad, yeah, it has a bad effect. All she was asking, and I agree 100%, is to maybe look and do some stories on people and how they live their life instead of how they died, and saying, this is the transgender community you don't know about.
Leslie McMurray is the Transgender Education and Advocacy Coordinator for Resource Center, a Dallas-based health facility for LGBTQ people. Leslie, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having us on.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.